In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, in the moving gospel we just heard, we witness what Jesus did on the evening of Easter. He walked through the closed doors of the upper room where the apostles were gathered together out of fear. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." Despite their betrayal, despite the fact they all left, he came to them as a friend. "Peace be with you." Jesus had come down from heaven to earth and has sacrificed his life to give us peace. But it was a special kind of peace, one the world cannot give or the world cannot take away. "Not as the world gives peace, do I give it," Jesus said. The peace Jesus lives and gives us is not the mere absence of war or conflict, but harmony. Harmony with God through the forgiveness of sins. Without this type of peace, without the peace of Christ, no other form can endure, because it is sin that destroys interior peace. It is sin that destroys the peace of the home, peace of friendship, the peace of communities, the peace of nations. And so Jesus, wasting absolutely no time to set the next stage of his peace plan in motion, on the night of his resurrection, divinely empowered the apostles as his peacemakers to bring that gift and the joy to which it leads to the ends of the earth. It's important for us to pay close attention in the various steps Jesus took in today's gospel, so that we can understand better the divine foundation of the sacraments of his mercy, so that we can take better advantage of it and also explain it better to all those Protestants and some Catholics alike who say that they can confess their sins to God alone without the sacraments. Dear faithful, Jesus began by saying to the apostles, "Just as the Father sent me, so I send you." We know that the Father has sent Jesus as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And Jesus was sending his apostles to continue the saving mission of mercy. Since we know that only God can forgive sins against him. However, Jesus needed to impart to the apostles that divine power. So what did he do? He breathed. He breathed on them, as he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit to forgive sins." He gave them God, the Holy Spirit, so that they might forgive sins in God's name. Just as we hear every time the priest pronounces those beautiful words in the sacraments of penance. "Ego te absolvo," I forgive you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then Jesus did something that refers to the essential structure of the sacrament of reconciliation. He said, "Those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Those whose sins you retain, they are retained." Saint Jesus didn't give the apostles the capacity to read hearts and souls. The only way they and their successors and their priestly collaborators would be able to know which sins to forgive or to retain would be if people told them. And that's what happens in the sacrament of confession. There is no sin God cannot forgive. If we are not forgiven, it's always on our side because we refuse God's mercy. Dear faithful, it's so fitting that Jesus established this sacrament of his mercy on Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday evening. Because he wanted to link the joy of his resurrection to the joy of forgiveness. Jesus had pointed to the connection between the two when he gave us the unforgettable parable of the prodigal son. When the lost son returns to the father to give his rare speech of repentance, the father erupts with happiness. He covers his son with the finest robe, adorns him with a ring and sandals, and kills the fattened calf. When the jealous older son asked why his dad was pulling out all the stops at the return of his brother, the father replied, "We must celebrate with joy because your brother was dead and has come to life again." This parable, which is about what happens to all of us in the sacrament of penance, when we come back and say to our Father that we have sinned, and he restores us to the full dignity as his beloved sons and daughters. Point to the truth that every reconciliation is a resurrection. In every good confession, a son or daughter who was dead comes to life again, healed of sins, both mortal or venial, and made fully alive once more in Christ Jesus. My Lord and my God. Dear faithful, with Jesus, by Jesus, we are healed and saved by his wounds, his pains and sorrows, his agony on the cross, and ultimately, he's dying for us. Because it is from touching his wounds and feeling this pain that we can understand God himself, who has indeed come to be with us, not only in spirit, but also as a suffering servant and our risen Lord. Jesus has come to share our joy and our pain, and he himself has come to stay. He wants us to know that God himself shares the vulnerability of ordinary human beings. And so what Jesus says to Thomas are words of love and also of vulnerability, which of course is the only way of love. The pains and difficulties and troubles along the way are only the gateways to the peace and joy of everlasting life with Jesus, which is given to us here and now. We close with the words of Saint Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us all. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.